this really be the end? To be stuck inside of Mobile with the Memphis Blues again.
Mona, welcome back to the Jeff Ford Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the program if you so choose. Real quick plug on Monday. Coming up on Monday, we'll have Shane Stringer, State Representative of Mobile County, Citronelle to be precise. Also on the program, Dale Jackson, WVNN, and Yellowhammer News. And I believe we'll have State Senator Sam Gavan joining us as well on Monday, so make sure you tune in for that. I believe we got him here on the line, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for making time. We always appreciate it. Senator, busy week in Montgomery. Things are kind of winding down. I guess a couple of high-profile individuals in the Ivy administration, the state health officer and the ALDOT director appear to be in a little hot water here. But we'll start with the ALDOT director, since what has happened is in our neck of the woods. Just your reaction to Judge Poole's ruling and the way this whole bridge episode down at the beaches is being handled.
Well, Jeff, obviously I've read Judge Poole's ruling with some interest, and having been involved in this particular project and for the last probably 9 years or so, I was able to flip through the pages and kind of say, yeah, I remember when that happened, and I remember that, and I remember that negotiation. And it kind of read like a history of this project, which has been, you know, needed for some time. And that is additional lanes across the Intracoastal Waterway under the canal. The question is just how to do it and how to accomplish it. And I have been concerned for some time that this was possibly not the right way to go, just because it was fraught with challenges, as opposed to what the bridge company was offering, which was, you know, free passage for all Bowen Countyans, you know, across the toll bridge, as well as expanded lanes and expanding, you know, the toll gantry and everything else. So, you know, here we are, with, no clear path forward, and it's frustrating. I think probably, however, the most telling thing was that despite all of the conversations that I know I've had with the Ivy administration, despite the conversations I know that local mayors and commissioners and other local electeds have had with the Ivy administration, that the governor, if you take what John Cooper said, and I have no reason to doubt that he's speaking truthfully, but if you take what he said, that even though we had all those conversations with the governor's office or chief of staff or finance director or other chief of staff, that they saw no reason to reach out to the Alabama Department of Transportation director and discuss this project with them. And I think that's pretty stark.
Well, I mean, big picture wise, Senator, does it seem like, I mean, there's gotta be some kind of shakeup. Maybe if it's not even just more than just the ALDOT director. I mean, it's the Alabama Department of Transportation seems to be a very underwhelming agency right now.
Look, you can say that, and I understand that perspective. My problem is a little different than that, and my problem is that the governor doesn't seem to be engaged in managing that department or working with that department. I mean, if you take John Cooper at his word, and I do, and he says he's not talked to the governor Ivy since 2017 about what is a very important transportation project that's very controversial. What does that say about the interaction between Governor Ivy and her ALDOT director? And so I've heard a lot of people going, oh, this means that Director Cooper, you know, this is going to be rough on Director Cooper. And, you know, John's doing what he thinks is right. I don't necessarily agree with him, but it's amazing to me. The real shocking thing of all of this is despite all of this local consternation over how this process is being managed and prosecuted, that the governor's decided to take a completely hands-off approach to it and kind of let the chips fall where they may.
Senator, the other topic I brought up, the state health officer. Now, Senator Gavan, he has a bill to really change how that whole structure exists. I mean, coming out of the COVID emergency, we learned probably a lot of things about state government we didn't know, that you have a guy who's a state health officer, not a democratically elected or appointed or anything like that. He's chosen by a group of doctors. What do you think about efforts to kind of change the way that's done, especially, I guess, since Harris is appalled by what you guys did with the VCAP bill last year?
Look, COVID taught us one thing as it relates to government, and that is that principles are important from top to bottom, and understanding what the powers of government are and aren't and what they should be and shouldn't be, and that checks and balances are important, because otherwise you have leaders elected or appointed making decisions that can impact the entirety of our economy. And the fact that you may have someone doing that who never is accountable to the voters, who's not appointed by an elected official, I think was pretty shocking to a lot of members of the legislature. So, listen, I applaud and have co-sponsored Senator Givens' legislation. We need to make sure that we have accountability, associated with those types of decisions that traces itself directly back to the voters. We don't have that now with the state health officer, and I think that it would do two things. One, I think it would be good for the people to feel like there's some accountability. And two, I think it would strengthen the validity of such orders if the people knew that, hey, this is somebody I've elected that is telling me this, as opposed to some unelected, person that's making these decisions that will never be held accountable by the voters. As to the comments that were made, wading into the legislature's purview and area as far as lawmaking goes, I think that's concerning. And I think that an elected official or somebody who was accountable to an elected official that may otherwise have been in that position would have thought twice about making comments like that.
Well, it's just obviously some frustration there from him about what the legislature's doing. And is the claim here, and I'll just get your reaction to this, and we'll move on, but that the everything you guys are doing with regards to that was just a come out from a national think tank for the sake of getting votes out. Not that you guys need votes. I mean, Republicans are pretty good footing in Alabama, but that's his claim.
Well, I don't agree with him. Certainly it is an issue nationally, but it's definitely an issue locally. I mean, my constituents are concerned about this, and rightfully so. And we saw that at the State House. I had constituents coming up to me in the State House with, some of the transgender folks who were harassing individuals, in the women's restroom in the State House, that came to me in tears. Can you please do something about that? I mean, these issues are important to my constituents. They're important to my colleagues. And it is our job to address issues that our constituents find important and troublesome to them, regardless of what, unelected folks, officials, bureaucrats may think. And so the legislature, the Alabama legislature, is doing its job and is in its lane. And I would encourage others to stay in their lane when it comes to legislative policy.
I'm going to backtrack on something you just said there. You telling us that you had during the, this last week, there was a protest, and there were transgender females, I believe is the term, harassing people in the women's restroom.
That's correct. I'm not sure of the terms. I refuse to even contemplate what they mean. They don't make any sense to me, so you call them what you want to. But I think it's clear they should have been in the women's restroom, and they certainly shouldn't have been harassing real women in the women's restroom. And, yes, that is exactly what I heard was going on this past week.
That's insane. Usually they keep that place pretty locked down. Senator, let's move into some other territory. Looks like I am looking at what the lieutenant governor's done with the grocery tax here. I know a lot of people are a little put off that it's slow rolling, but I think you can't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. This thing looks like it's going to happen. You're at least going to put it on a track to eliminate the food tax in Alabama.
We are, and Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth is absolutely to be commended. I mean, he is showing the type of leadership that you would expect out of a governor on this issue, working this bill, finding a middle ground and a solution that will pass the legislature. I mean, there have been several other bills introduced on this topic. And you're seeing, you know, Governor Ainsworth act like a governor and say, no, this is the way, this is the path. And to be effective with the legislature, to engage with the legislature in a manner that I haven't seen in my time in office, that's for sure, you know, from the existing administration, current administration. And so he's being effective and he's leading. You're seeing him lead on this issue. You're seeing him lead on transportation issues like I-65. I mean, the guy's clearly showing what it's going to look like in the future.
Yeah, and I guess there's something to be said. I mean, it takes work to get a bill through, but he's managed to get all these co-sponsors signed on from both sides of the aisle. You don't really see that much in legislative politics, do you?
I have never seen every single member on both sides of the aisle in the Senate sign on a bill, and I have never seen a bill with 100 co-sponsors in the House. That is leading. That is taking the ball and running with it. And in a complicated area of tax policy that frankly has its detractors. There are those that are concerned about the fiscal health of the state in the future. There are those that are concerned, let's just give a rebate instead of meaningful tax reform, and to have Governor Ainsworth chart a clear and strong path that navigates all of those obstacles and gain the support of all of those different entities and factions is really indicative, I think, of his leadership style. And I commend him for it, commend his staff. And we're going to see meaningful tax reform in Alabama on groceries because of what Governor Will Ainsworth is proposing and how he's worked this bill.
I'm joined by State Senator Chris Elliott, our attorney champion here on the program. Senator, you mentioned his I-65. It looks like it's a resolution, but, I mean, we're in a different part of the state. Our part of 65, I mean, yeah, it is congested from probably the Dolly Parton Bridge south, but six lanes from one end to the other, I mean, it is Main Street, Alabama. Do you see that as something that's achievable, particularly between Montgomery and Mobile?
Jeff, I-65 is hugely important to South Alabama. I mean, make no mistake about it, we see 8 million visitors in South Baldwin County every year. That's the equivalent of every man, woman, and child in the state driving down 65 to get here. So it's crucial to our economy, and it's crucial to South Alabama. And yes, I think this is very achievable. And, you know, I've talked with Governor Ainsworth about this. You know, he sees a path where you certainly take the most critical areas and address them first, and then there are some areas that are easier to address. And yes, you have to do it in stages. You get the ALDOT director on board. You start putting this on the state transportation improvement plan in sections. I think that's wise. You work with our federal delegation to identify federal funds where possible, whether that's through larger pieces of legislation or even going back to small earmarks so that you can take advantage of whatever federal money there is. I think it's very possible and very doable and such a better priority than the boondoggle that is this West Alabama corridor, so that we can actually put asphalt in places where the majority of Alabamians are going to use it and where it will do real good for the state's economy.
Speaking of boondoggles, and I don't know, it's been a long session, but have we heard much about the prison construction, Escambia and Elmore counties?
I've not. I know that a couple of members were touring those sites the other day. I need to follow back up with them and hear from them. I'm just concerned that the price of both of these has ballooned far beyond what can be credited to inflation. And we've got to figure out why before we just run headlong into simply approving more money for them. And so more conversations to take place there. I'm still concerned that there's $100 million or so in the education budget going to prisons. And I'm hopeful that we can find a way to get some clarity as to and justification for why there's this huge increase in construction prices. Because remember, we still got another one of these to go yet.
Finally, Senator, big news on the ESG front. We talked about it last week on the program, but It looks like Senator Roberts' bill made it out of the Senate. It's headed to the House, but it was pretty significant to get that accomplished.
It was, and I commend Senator Roberts for his work on that, and some others too. You know, we try to team up where possible, and I think we did a good job on that. Senator Gavancer, Barfoot, Senator Gudger, and Senator Roberts, all of us worked on that piece of legislation that was Dan Roberts, you know, bill and Dan Roberts' brainchild. But I think that it you will find it is the most wide-ranging and broadest ESG legislation that's passed in this country. And it really did a good job of saying, these are Alabama values. This is what is important to us in Alabama. If you're going to do business with state or local governments in Alabama, you have to share our values there. And if not, then go somewhere else. But it also, I think, did a really good job protecting business interests where possible and making sure that there weren't any unintended consequences beyond what the stated purpose of the bill was. So hats off to Senator Roberts as usual, and a great job there. I hope the House takes it up quickly. It is a priority piece of legislation for us, and that it gets passed here very quickly.
Senator, we're out of time, but we always appreciate you making the time for this program. We'll do this again next week.
Thanks so much for having me.
That was State Senator Chris Elliott there on the program. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. I still